Now the presidential campaign health care debate. Even among those who agree that a single-payer health care system in the U.S. would be more efficient and cost-effective, there's another debate. Is it politically feasible? This week, WBUR looked at single-payer health care through the lens of Nova Scotia. Because Bernie Sanders holds up Canada as an example, the U.S. might follow. This morning, we conclude this series in a discussion with three health care coverage experts. William Shao is a professor of economics and health policy at Harvard and is a leading global expert in universal health insurance. Steffi Woolhandler is a practicing primary care physician and professor of public health and health policy at Hunter College. She's also a longtime Medicare for All advocate. And John McDonough, professor of public health practice at Harvard and a key advisor on President Obama's Affordable Care Act. Steffi Woolhandler starts by insisting single-payer is feasible.
You know, we implemented the Medicare program in 1966. In 11 months, we took 19 million people, elderly people with high health care needs, and put them into the Medicare program and started paying their bills. And clearly, the single-payer systems are more affordable and doing a better job in terms of population health.
John McDonough, weigh in here. You're an advocate of building on the Affordable Care Act. Explain why you think that should be the ultimate goal.
Well, first thing, there's nothing that Steffi says that I disagree with at all. It is, I think, incontrovertibly true that the United States has the least efficient system among all advanced nations by a country mile, and we're the only one of the advanced countries that doesn't provide universal coverage. But I don't see how we get from here to there on just the raw political consideration of, is this at all feasible? If Democrats hold the Senate by a small margin, they won't need even 60 votes. They need closer to the kind of supermajority that Lyndon Johnson had when Medicare was created, when he had 68 out of 100 Senate seats controlled by Democrats.
Bill Shao, you agree with that?
I see the United States is changing. The big employers find the health care cost is really bearing down on their ability to give cash wage increases. So the employers are going to be crying for solutions. But equally important, no country has been able to reform their healthcare system without doctors agree to it. United States right now have 47% of doctors who are employed by clinics or hospitals. Most of them are in favor of Medicare for all.
Steffi, weigh in here. Do you think that industry, business, and physicians are ready to go along?
Well, I definitely think physicians are. I work with the organization Physicians for a National Health Program. The financing system is getting in the way of us taking care of our patients, and that's our real job.
There are a lot of docs when they hear from the people who run their practices that this is going to mean the pay cut coming to physicians. Those people run for the barriers.
And industry, is it ready to go or not quite there yet?
I think they do know that their Canadian counterparts save a lot of money. There's a lot of new auto plants opening up in Canada, mostly because the benefit costs are so much lower there. The wage costs are similar. So I do think there's a potential to get business on board. I'm not seeing a lot of it yet, but I do think it's going to happen.
Canada is spending somewhere between 40 and 50% of provincial budgets on health care. It's around 40% in Nova Scotia. Can the U.S. afford that?
Well, in fact, if you look at the cost of the Medicaid program in states right now, it's already at that level.
Well, you know, Canada may be spending a lot of money, but they're only spending 11.5% of GDP. They're covering everyone. We're spending 17.5% of GDP, and we've got 30 million uninsured people and 530,000 families going bankrupt each year.
The way to prevent it is to emphasize changing of lifestyle, focus on primary care. Under the U.S. system, we basically wait for people to get sick.
Politics aside, though, John McDonough, do you see Medicare for All as the ideal should we be able to actually get there?
So, you know, I know you're looking at Canada. The Commonwealth Fund, a distinguished health policy foundation in New York City, they rank systems based on surveys of physicians and patients on access, care, affordability. The one consistency among the four times that they've done this is that the United States has come in dead last in overall ranking. The surprising thing is that in three of the four surveys that they've done, the Canadian system comes in the second worst.
Canada has an excellent system that was a role model for the world since late 1970s until late 1990s. Canada went through a prolonged recession, and Canada changed how its health care is financed between its federal and state government.
So each province essentially controls its own health care spending, which sets up situations where doctors on the west coast of Canada are getting paid more than doctors on the east coast of Canada, which leads doctors in Nova Scotia, for example, to want to leave to go practice elsewhere so that they can make more money.
You know, it's interesting if you look at the conversation in the United States that's been going on for years now about should we turn Medicaid or other programs into a block grant to states. We actually have in Canada a real-world example of what happens, which is you see the financial suffocation of the system at a variety of levels. The other, of course, great example of a block grant is Puerto Rico. There's some important lessons, and sometimes the lessons are good. Sometimes the lessons, as in Canada and block grants, are not so good.
Big picture when it comes to politics, is health care for all an easier sell if people are allowed to opt into it if they want or opt out of it if they don't want to participate? And if it goes that way, as some of the candidates want, will it work?
Yeah, well, if you do public option, private option, you're going to increase the complexity and increase the cost when we're already wasting $500 billion a year in excess administrative costs. So there's no way you're going to be able to afford universal health care, and then that becomes a feasibility issue.
John?
People believe that there's only the choice of what we have now versus Medicare for All single payer. In fact, there are other feasible systems, particularly Germany, Netherlands, Switzerland, for example, that do it another way, but that achieve universal coverage, have significantly lower costs than the United States, and have high rates of public satisfaction that could be achieved more closely in the United States without doing what happens when we go for the whole thing, which is burning down the house.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for speaking with us this morning. Bill Hsiao, thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Steffi Wohlhandler, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
And John McDonough, thank you, and good to see you again.
Great to see you, too.